For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, we are continuing in Rus. We did the first half of the first parak last time. Where is it? 1269? Okay. So we talked about the major players, Elimelech and Naomi and Nachman and Kilion, and we talked about the difference between how Elimelech and Boaz handled the Ra'av. We talked about what the whole point of the Ra'av was. And now we're up to the dramatic part of Rus and Arpah first wanting to go back with Naomi, and then Naomi telling them no, and then finally they go back and forth, and then Rus stays with her and Arpah leaves. So three the Psukim, and then we'll discuss it. So we're starting from Pasuk Zion. V'teitzei min ha'makom asher hayitzah shamo shnei chaloseha ima. So she left with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the road to return to Eretz Yehuda. Now, calls them chaloseha, her daughters-in-law. That would seem to imply that there was a real marriage between Machlon and Kilion and Rus and Arpah, which would also be another indication that they were Jewish, that Rus and Arpah were Jewish. We discuss that further. So she says to her two daughters-in-law, Lechna shovna yishalavei sima, go back to your mother's house. Yas Hashem imachem chesed. Hashem should do with you chesed. Kasha asisem im hameisim v'imadiyu. Like you did with the meisim and with me. You did chesed with them. So here she's accentuating chesed. We talked about last time the importance of chesed in this Megillah. So she says, you did chesed with the meisim and with me. You stuck with me. She lost all of her money and they still stuck with her. Yitein Hashem lachem v'metzenem v'nucha yisha beis yisha. So you should each find yourselves a husband. V'tishak lahen. She kissed them, Vatisena Kolan Vativkana. And they lifted their voices and they cried. Vatomarno la ki itachna shuvla amech. We're going to go back with you. We're not staying here. Vatomar Naomi shovna vinosai. You should go back. Lama zelachna imi. Ha'uli vani b'me'ai v'ha'uli lachem la'anashim. Do I have any more children? I have no more children who could be husbands to you. Staying with me means nothing for you. You won't have any husbands. I'm too old to remarry. Even if I said that I had a future, I had hope, even if I would get married tonight, even if I would have children, boys, are you going to wait?
Tie yourself down.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No,
wait, no, that's the next one. Tie yourself down. You're going to wait until they get older? You can tie yourself down not to marry. At the very least, you're going to have to wait 14 years, at the very least, before any boy I have is ready to marry. Al ben Osai, don't do this, my daughters. Ki mar li ma'od mikem. I am very embittered because of what's happening to you. Ki atzav yad Hashem, for the hand of Hashem has gone against me. So she tells him, there's nothing in this for you. So, you've done a lot of chesed. It's great. But this chesed that you want to do, there's not going to be any return. You see what she's setting up over here. You've done a lot of chesed for my sons, who passed away, and for me. And it's wonderful. But going forward, if you're going to follow me back to Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing in it for you. That's it. It's only going to be a one-way street. You're going to be giving chesed to me, but I can't give you anything back. There's no reciprocation over here. You will not get any husbands out of me. Nothing will come out of me that will be benefit to you. So they lifted the voices and they cried. So she kissed her mother-in-law, which the intent of the pasuk is, and she left. Doesn't say that. But she kissed her means, and she left. Rus davkaba, Rus clinged to her. So here, Arpah had done chesed, just like Rus had done chesed. It's clear in the pasuk. Naomi says to them, you've done chesed with the mason and with me. I don't know if that means they buried the mason. I don't know if it means that they took care of their of them when they were sick. Whatever it is. But you took care of the mason. You did chesed. And you did chesed for me. But now, you're not going to get anything out of it. Arpa says, I can't do that. It's too much. I can do chesed, but I can't do a chesed shel emes. That I can't do. I can't do chesed with no return. Rus sticks with her mother-in-law. So she says, Vatomer hinei shava yivimteich elama ve'al eloheha. Your yivimteich, that's a funny word to use, a yivama usually means a yavam is a widow's brother-in-law. Right? It's her deceased husband's brother. That's a yavam. And she is a yavama. A man's deceased brother's widow is a yavama. Here the term yivimteich is being used to mean a sister-in-law, meaning your deceased husband's deceased brother's wife. That's the term is going to be used over here. She's gone back to her nation and to her deity, to her god, to her avodah zarah. Shuvi acharei yivimteich, go back after your sister-in-law. Now this pasuk needs a lot of explanation. Nami seems to be endorsing going back to avodah zarah. That's difficult. It's difficult if they are Jews. They converted. They were gerim, gioros. So how could she be telling them to go back? And if they're not gioros, then how could Machlon and Kelanin marry them? It's difficult. Vatomer Rus al tifki ivi leozvech lashuv meacharayich. Now here you have a very famous response of Rus. Don't urge me there right over here to leave you to go back. Now she says several things here. El asher telki eilech, where you go, I go. Uvasher talin alin, where you sleep, I sleep. Amecha mi, your nation is my nation. Veilokayich eloka, your God is my God. Vasher talmus yamus, where you die, I will die. Veshamech aver, and I will be buried. Hashem should do this to me and more, meaning Hashem should punish me and even more so if I don't do this, if I don't stick with you. Hashem should punish me terribly. Only death will separate between me and you. So I am not leaving you. Chazal, of course, go through what exactly Rus was saying over here with all these words. Where you go, I'll go. Where you sleep, I'll sleep, etc. So Chazal say, where you go, I'll go. We learn from here the things that Nami was saying to her to discourage her. We learn from here that you are supposed to discourage a ger. Someone comes to convert, you're supposed to discourage them. Why do we discourage them? Why do we discourage them?
Because we want to make sure it's sincere.
Because we want to make sure it's sincere. So we got to make sure they really want to become gerim. So we discourage them. So Nami here was discouraging Rus. And everything Rus says is a response to something Nami said. So Chazal say, for the fact that Rus says, where you go, I'll go, it must be that Nami tried to discourage her about where you are allowed to go. So Chazal say, Nami said to her, we can't go further than 2,000 amas outside the Tchum on Shabbos. You don't want to be Jewish, because if you're Jewish, you can't walk more than 2,000 amas out of the Tchum, out of the city on Shabbos. Pretty terrible, isn't it?
Really terrible.
Right.
My Shabbos.
Right. Uh-huh. Do you think that Nami could have come up with something a little more powerful than that?
Would it have meant something like maybe she's a gear or something so she can't go, so there's like certain sections of the Beit HaMikdash? Is that true?
That's all Chazal say on this.
Uh-huh.
They say that we have Tchum Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So she says, wherever you go, I'll go.
No, but it could be like just the idea, like even our walking is
okay,
dictated.
Good. Okay, let's go through. So then let's go through each one of these things. There's six things over here. Right? Then she says, well, you sleep, I'll sleep. So she must have said something about sleeping. That we can't sleep everywhere. So Chazal says, she said to her, we have a halacha called yichud. That you can't have yichud. Which, it could be not sleeping, but it is most commonly when people sleep that you have a problem with yichud because it's at night. During the day you have less issues of yichud. So you can't sleep in a situation of yichud. So she said, wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Okay? Then she said to her, we have 613 mitzvos. So she says, your nation is my nation. You don't think she could have let off with that? 613 mitzvos? We can only believe in one God. Your God is my God. So, it's funny how she started with Tchum Shabbos, like, what? And then Yichud, then 613 mitzvos, and then, your God is my God. Then, this is the kicker, the end of it here, you know that Beis Din can kill you for four different ways. There's four different types of misos Beis Din, and if you do these averes, they're going to kill you in one of these ways. Basher temus yamus, for you die, I'll die. Okay? And you should know that when Beis Din kills people, they don't bury them in the regular Beis HaKvaros. They bury them in a special Beis HaKvaros that is for people who are killed by Beis Din. And not only that, it's two different ones. One for the Niskalim and Nisrafim, those who got Skila and Sreifa, which is the worst types of punishments, and one for the Nechnokim and Neheragim, those who got Hereg or Chenek. So not only if you're put to death by Beis Din, but if they do it, they're going to bury you someplace not in the regular Beis HaKvaros. So she says, V'sham HaKaver. Fine, that's where I'll be buried. I accept that too.
Why does she say, like, where you die, I'll die? Why doesn't she say, okay, so I won't do Averos?
Okay. Well, she's saying, I accept it. If I deserve to die, I'll die. Fine, I accept it. The same way you are, as a born Jewess, you have this rule. I accept that on myself too. Mm-hmm. That's what she's saying. But the choices here of Nami are curious. What would you have said? What would you say if a girl comes to you, meet a girl in college, and she's taken with Yiddishkeit? She says, "I want to become Jewish." So you know you're supposed to discourage her. So what would you pick?
Can't eat anything you want.
What if the kasher?
Yes,
kasher.
Sneers.
Kashrus? Okay, but Kashrus, come on, Kashrus. I mean, that is so restrictive. You can't pick Kashrus. Shabbos, the best you can pick is Tchum Shabbos. What about
no texting.
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of things. How about fasting on Yom Kippur? I mean, there's other things that are more pervasive, that are more powerful, that affect you as a Jew, that if you wouldn't be a Jew, you wouldn't have to deal with it. Like, I mean, so her choices are curious. But we learn from here that you're supposed to discourage a ger. That's what you learn from here. Which calls into question the same thing. Was Rus Jewish or not? If we learn from here that you're supposed to discourage a ger or a geiris, it sounds like Rus was not yet Jewish. Fine. So, she says, she saw that she was determined, right? So now, Nami left her alone. We learn from here that once the ger shows that they're interested, then you don't have to discourage them anymore. They went to Beis Lechem, which is where Nami was from. The whole city, as it says, was tumultuous over them. They were like, whoa, what's going on over here? They said, Hazos Nami? Is this Nami? Nami had left as a very wealthy, very highly respected, very in a leadership role person. That's when she had left. With a very hush of a husband, very hush of a sons, the people who were most likely going to be the ones to produce Malchus Beis David. And she had been pregnant when she left. Now she came back with nothing. She came back with no husband, no sons, no baby, and no money.
Wait, was that baby the second son?
Third.
Oh.
Third, as we'll see in a moment. And so she came back with absolutely nothing. And she came back with tattered clothes and a strange Moavi woman. Right. Batomar lihen al tikren ali Naomi. Don't call me Naomi, which comes from Ni'imus, which means a pleasant or, right? Some sort of a pleasant person. Karena li mara, call me bitter. Ki heimar shakai li maod, for my Hashem has been bitter to me. Ani melayah halachti, I went full. Vereikam eshivani, Hashem, Hashem returned me empty. That's how we learn the shein of miscarriage. It has a double meaning over there. Lama sikrenali nami, why should you call me nami? Vashem anavi, Hashem has come against me. They say Hashem has testified against me. Vishakai heirali, done evil to me. Vatashav nami verus ha-moaviyah kalasa ima. So Nami returned and Ruth the Moaviyah, her daughter-in-law, with her. Which is funny, because if she wasn't Jewish, why is she a daughter-in-law? We know that if a man marries a non-Jewish woman, they're not married. So what does that mean? Hashava Mistei Moab, that she returned from the fields of Moab. That's a curiosity as well. Why is Ruth called the one who returned from the fields of Moab? When was Ruth ever in Eretz Yisrael? This is her first trip in her life to Eretz Yisrael. It's hard to say that she returned to Eretz Yisrael.
Well, if she's a Ger, then like her neshama was originally by Har Sinai.
Okay, good, good. Okay, so that's a good answer. The Hema Bovei Slechem Bitzlas Ketir Seorim. They came at the beginning of the harvesting of the Seorim. When is the beginning of the harvesting of the Seorim?
Pesach.
Correct. What is the first Seorim to be harvested?
Oh, the carbon.
Which carbon? Carbon
Omer.
Carbon Omer. And what is the, that we count, we cut Seorim at Pesach. The very first ones that are cut are used for the carbon Omer. And we count 49 days till Shavuos. And on Shavuos, we bring a carbon, Shtei Alechem, which is the first carbon brought from
the new wheat.
You go from Seorim to Chitin. Follow that along over here. This is a Shavuos Megillah. Right? They got back Pesach time. That's when they got back.
They're going to make it to Shavuos.
Well, it's going to go a little past Shavuos, but we'll see it's going to go through to Shavuos. One more Chazal you need to know before we dissect this whole thing is that Chazal tell us that Batehom Kol Hayir, the whole city was tumultuous, was in a big uproar. So the Pashup Chat is over Nami. But Chazal also tell us that that was the day of the Levaya for
Boaz.
Not Boaz.
Oh, not his wife.
Boaz's wife. Right. For Boaz's wife.
Yeah.
So remember, Boaz, we talked about last time, at the beginning of this Megillah, he has 60 children, 30 boys and 30 girls, and is therefore in also a prime position to produce Malchus Beis David. At this point, he has no children. All 60 have predeceased him, and now his wife dies. So the line of Malchus Beis David, which before this Ra'av started, this Ra'av, which is meant to bring about Malchus Beis David, before the Ra'av, the line of Malchus Beis David looked very bright. We talked about Machlon, Kilion, sons of Elimelech, who's from Nachshon ben Aminadav, of Nami, who's also from Nachshon ben Aminadav. Unbelievable. Boaz, big tzaddik, who's the Shofet, he's also Ibtzan, same person. And he's from Nachshon ben Aminadav. He's got 60 kids. It's incredible. Like it couldn't look brighter. And then the Rav, which is supposed to produce David HaMelech, it decimates the potential line. Elimelech is dead. Machlon is dead. Kilion is dead. Nami's finished. She can no longer produce children. Boaz has lost 60 children and his wife. And he's 80 years old. He doesn't have much time to live. He dies at the end of the Megillah. There's not much time for Boaz to live. So it has become very precarious indeed to find where that line of Malchus Beis David is going to come from. Okay. So were they Jewish or weren't they Jewish? This is a very thorny issue. Very contemporary also. So were they or weren't they? On the one hand, the references to marriage seem to indicate they were Jewish, but we learn from here you're supposed to discourage Gerim. And she, Nami, sent Arpa back. At the end of the Megillah...
Sort of Jewish.
Okay, well, at the end of the Megillah, we're going to see that there's going to be, first of all, there's going to be a whole discussion of the order of who gets to marry Rus. Boaz is going to say, yes, I'll marry, because Rus wants to marry Boaz. Boaz says, I'll marry you, but there's someone who's first in line, my uncle, Tov or Ploni Almoni. He's first in line. In line for what? She's a Gioris. What does that mean? In line for...
What
do you? But how can they Yibum if they weren't really married?
Does it have anything to do with the fact that, like, the official halakha had not been made yet, but,
okay,
like,
so
they knew?
Well, sort of. I mean, there is a halakha in the Torah that's
right, but I mean, like, it had not been, like, brought out or whatever.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, there is the issue of Moavi, Vafilu Moavis, Moavi Velo Moavis. That was debated back and forth, but this is a little bit more basic than that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have, at the end of the Megillah, that when Boaz marries Rus, if he says, V'gam Rus HaMoavia, Eishes Machlon, Kanisi Lili Isha. I am marrying Rus, the wife of Machlon, Lihakim Shem HaMeis Al Nachalaso, to establish the name of the Meis on his Nachala. So clearly, we're acknowledging there is a marriage between Machlon and Rus. It's a recognized marriage. That's for sure. So then how's Nami try to tell her to go back? Yeah.
Maybe it's possible that she really became a ger to marry Machlon and to marry Machlon and Kalyan. But if someone becomes a ger just for marriage, then it's not necessarily so. Right? Isn't that right? If they become a ger, it's not so necessarily that valid. So maybe Naomi, before she came back, she wanted to just do it again, almost, just to, like, make sure it's signed.
Okay, very good, excellent. This is one approach. Every approach is going to be something along these lines. Somehow, like you said, we have to straddle the fence. Somehow we got to make them at the same time, yes, Jewish and also not Jewish. Somehow. The Machlon and Kilion, when they came to the Sdei Moav, they were very respected, very wealthy people. Now, as we said, they went there looking for the Ima Shel Malchus. That's what they went for. They knew there was going to be a contribution from Moav to Malchus Beis David, as we mentioned last week, and they were looking for that. Now, as we said, the Pasuk said before, Vayu Sham. They were just there. They didn't do anything. They were there because somehow Hashem has to make it happen. Then Elimelech dies, and Machlon and Kilion marry. They marry Rus and Arpa. They looked for the women who were most likely to be candidates to be Ima Shel Malchus, which means they would have to be incredible Baalei Chesed. Because for Malchus, as we mentioned last week, you need Chesed. Chesed is the most significant Midah for Malchus. So they looked for women in Moav who lacks chesed. Moav, the country, the people, lack chesed. How do we know Moav lacks chesed?
That's why we can't marry them.
They are not people with good midos. They looked for that diamond in the sand, that ruby somewhere that you could find within Moav, that peace that comes from Lot, that comes from Avraham Avinu, that there's something there. Lot, as the brother of Sarah and the nephew and brother-in-law of Avraham and grew up in Avraham's home, that there's some chesed over there, that Lot did have an element of chesed. When the Malachim came to Sodom, it says Lot was outside in the evening. Rashi says why? He learned from Beis Avraham to look for guests. Even in Sodom, there was still that element there. So as far as Lot had drifted, there was some element, some very, very subtle, but there was some element of chesed within Lot. That found expression later on. And they were looking for those people, those women, in Moav, who would be shayach to be that little shemetz of chesed coming all the way from Avavinu down to here that could then be the Ima Shel Malchus. They identified two women, Rus and Arpa, as being incredible Bali chesed. They were standouts. They were the biggest Bali chesed that Moab could produce, Rus and Arpa. And they were correct. They did find them. And they married them. They said, that's going to end, remember last week we talked about, that's going to end the Rav. Because the whole point of the Rav is to produce Malchus Beis David. Now we found the Balei Chesed. The problem is that the Rambam writes that Gerus is something which we discourage. And there is a time in history when we don't accept Gerim. We don't accept Gerim when things are going really well for Klal Yisrael. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we did not accept Gerim. Even if we thought they were sincere, we didn't accept them. Because in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, everybody wanted to be Jewish. Because we were on top of the world. Therefore, we did not accept Gerim. We didn't accept them. The Rambam writes, however, there were people who made batei dinim of their own, not al pi the chachamim, and they were mekabel gerim, even in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when they should not have done it, but they did it anyway. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says, what do you do with those gerim that were nisgayer through the batei dinim that weren't the proper batei dinim? They are technically kosher batei dinim. Because any three adult men who are not related to each other, who are not Rishayim, that they keep the Torah, they could be a Beis Din.
But going against the king is murder.
The king didn't make a. It wasn't an exam. Sanhedrin said, we're not. So what do you do with these people? So the Rambam says, well, we see if they're sincere or not. If it turns out they're sincere, then. Okay, the Geras is a Geras. If not, then we see it wasn't really a Geras. So here, Rus and Arpa may have been the greatest Balei Chesed that Moav could produce. But now, Machlon and Kilion were Megayer them before they married them. But they married people who anybody would have wanted to marry. These people were highly respected, very wealthy. They themselves were of sterling character, great midos. Who wouldn't marry them? So now Nami's going back. And Nami is vetting Rus and Arpa. If you want to come back with me, we have to make sure that the Geirus that you went through 10 years ago was a real Geirus. Now we're going to see. Because until now, you're being Jewish gave you something in return. Every chesed you did, there was something in return. But now, you're going to get nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they both want to go back with her, and then Arpa says, I can't do it. And she goes back. That means, retroactively, she was never a Jew. Rus refuses to go back.
Right. So that means that one of them, the one who married Machlon,
Kilion,
he had done a big error.
Well, the question is whether it's an Averif at the time it appeared that she was sincere and then later wasn't. How much is it b'mezid, how much is it b'shogin? You know, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide that. But to call Rus Eshes Machlon is not wrong. She was married to Machlon. And until Arpa goes back, she's called one of the Kalas of Nami. Shtei chaloseha. A kala means a daughter-in-law, you should know. A kala doesn't mean a bride. A chasen means a son-in-law, and a kala means a daughter-in-law. Or a chasen could also mean a father-in-law. Chosein Moshe. Mm-hmm. Yes, so it's Chosein Moshe.
So why do you say chasen and kala?
Because they're becoming a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law.
That's like their identity. It's right. Not like husband and wife. Right. It's like son-in-law,
daughter-in-law. They're saying that's their new status. They now have a new family.
Okay.
Right. Anyway.
But your kala is going to get married.
I know. Because we use the term that way. The Gemara already says it. The Gemara says it. The Gemara says kala nava chasuda. The Gemara uses it. It's not. Anyway, so. So they're called, both of them, the Kalas of Nami, because until that point they were married. It was real marriage. But then it comes out later that she went back and she was no longer. Arpa gave up everything. She ended up not really passing muster. It's important to know that when Rus went back with Nami, she expected nothing. She went back understanding that the only reason I'm going back is to give chesed to Nami. See, Klal Yisrael and Moav did not get along. There was bad blood between Klal Yisrael and Moav. And bringing back a Moavi woman to Eretz Yisrael was not politically correct.
Like bringing the air.
Right. That's right. Rus was being set up for failure from the start. She was being brought into a country that was going to be hostile to her. Why should we take care of her? The Moab people have been bad to us. Lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasam. Don't seek their peace and their good, Torah says. Kol yomecha. Le'olam. They're not good people. They've bothered us ever since the Midbar. So what are we... So we're going to take care of this woman, Rus? Plus the history? I mean, look what happened to Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion. You think it was a good thing that they married her? She didn't come back into a good environment. She came to Eretz Yisrael into an environment where no one would look at her, where no one would care about her. She didn't come into Eretz Yisrael with any expectations. The one reason she did it was to do chesed to her mother-in-law, not to leave her poor, barren, forsaken, broken mother-in-law alone. That's the only reason she did it, was to stay with her. That she didn't want Naomi, who had left Melea and was coming back without anything, Rekum, she shouldn't be alone. She should have somebody with her who's going to support her, who's going to be with her financially, emotionally. Someone should be with her. She shouldn't just be forgotten. That's the only reason she did it. It is an unbelievable act of chesed that Rus was doing over here. So you see here the as we mentioned last time, the chesed of Megillat Rus. Until now, last week we spoke about the chesed of Boaz, that Boaz, while losing all of his children in the Ra'av, he stuck it out and he davened for Klal Yisrael and he ended the Ra'av through his tefillah. Here we see chesed from Rus. The two of them, Boaz and Rus, and we're not done seeing the chesed yet. We're going to see in the next parak, in the parak after that, incredible chesed of Boaz and incredible chesed of Rus. Until right now in parak Rishon, we see the chesed of Boaz to Klal Yisrael, the chesed of Rus to Naomi. In the ensuing prakim, we're going to see the chesed of Boaz to Rus and the chesed of Rus to Boaz. That's what we're going to see. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring them together to bring the two incredible people who stand for chesed, who demonstrate chesed, together to produce David HaMelech, to produce Malchus. It's the chesed that produces it. This is the Megillah of chesed, because Malchus can only come from chesed. It's the only way it can happen. And they show it more than anything else. If you really think about the chesed that Rus did, it's just unbelievable. The mesiras nefesh involved that she did, it's very, very powerful. What's the greatest act of chesed ever in the history of the world?
Mitzvah.
What's that? Well, no, I'm saying that's a mitzvah. I'm saying one story. What's the
Olam?
Okay, that's true. I'll chesed Yibana. That's true.
Rus?
Well, Rus is up there. The greatest act of chesed ever in the history of the world is Rachel giving the Siman to Leah. That is the greatest act of chesed that ever happened. If you think about the Mesiras Nefesh that Rachel did in giving up to Leah, remember, when Rachel did it, she didn't know that Yaakov would then marry her. She thought she was giving up being the aim of Klal Yisrael. She didn't know that ended up being Leah and her. She thought it was just going to be, that's it, I'm giving it up. The self-sacrifice is beyond anything we can imagine. To completely negate yourself and say, it's not about me, this is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's about my sister, that's it, I'm giving it up. The Mesiras Nefesh, when you come across Mesiras Nefesh like that, whether you're vicariously experiencing it by learning it, or whether you see someone do something like that, so it can bring tears to your eyes, that just the unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh. Here we see that as well. Rus's Mesiras Nefesh is beyond what we can imagine, and it's no wonder that she becomes the Ima Shel Malchus through this Mesiras Nefesh. Boaz as well. Now we're going to see more of this as we move along in this Megillah. But the whole point of the Megillah is Chesed. You see how it is the Ra'av that has produced Rus. Not just that the Ra'av produced Rus in that because of the Ra'av, Elimelech came to Moab, and therefore Mahlon met Rus, married her, and then she went with Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned last time, it's true, Elimelech's trip to Moab found Rus, but we mentioned last time he still shouldn't have done it. Kadosh Baruch Hu would have found Rus in a different way. But the Ra'av produced Rus. But the Ra'av didn't just produce the physical person Rus. The Ra'av produced the Chesed of Rus. It brought the Chesed of Rus. Minha. No.
To the Poel.
Yeah. Right. Minakach, thank you. Elakach. From the potential to the actual. Rus had it in her. But what was going to bring it out? It's the Rav that brought it out. The Rav brought it out in Boaz. The Rav brought it out in Rus. This Rav, which is to produce David HaMelech, as we said, what do you mean to produce David HaMelech? It decimates the line of Nachshon Ben Aminadav to produce David HaMelech. No, it doesn't decimate. It weeds it out. That's what it does. It finds, it's the crucible that finds the Baalei Chesed who are roy to be the Av and Aim of Malchus. The Rav is what brings the, from Kayach HaLapel, Boaz, that even while losing his kids, he stands for Klal Yisrael, and he davens, and he helps. And then the Rav destroys Naomi, which makes her into someone who desperately needs Chesed, but one who cannot reciprocate in any way. And Rus is a person who knows she'll get absolutely nothing back, and she does it anyway. That is through the Rav. The Rav produces not only the people, but it produces the Chesed itself that the people stand for, and that produces Malchus. Yeah.
It seems like it's also almost like a test of Emunah for the whole nation of Israel at this point, because everyone's like, okay, well, Malchus is supposed to be coming, and it seems like what you said, it seems like it absolutely destroyed it, but really it's like bringing it up. So like we could take it almost like. That's almost like so many things nowadays that seem like it's like totally, destroying it, but really we just
don't
see.
That's right. We can't play God. Things appear to be falling apart, whatever, but Hashem has His ways. He's still working things through. He's still making things happen. That's not our job. Our job is to keep the Torah. It's not to try to play God. And that's part of the message, but that's what we said last week with Elimelech. Right. Okay. So that's the first parak. Let me just make sure we didn't miss anything here. Hold on. We don't have time for this now. I didn't go through the six things, how that works. The main point over there of those six things is that they are boundaries. That's what they are. Every single one of them is a boundary. It's a gvul. Tchum Shabbos, it's a gvul. You can't go where you want to go. Yichud is a gvul. Tayag mitzvahs, that's Tayag mitzvahs. And Hashem Echad, okay, those are two basic ones. Tayag mitzvahs, Hashem Echad, that's what you would expect her to say. But then, Misas based, and also you'd expect her to say, it's scary. But then having specific batei kvaros, it's a gvul. Within Klal Yisrael, there are very rigid systems which you can't break out of. If you are born a Kohen, then you can be a Kohen. If you're not, you can't. If you're born into Malchus Beis David, you can become Melech, otherwise you can't. If you're born a Levi, you can't. If you're born a man, you have a man's job. If you're born a woman, you have a woman's job. And within that, if you're born a Ger, a Gioris, you can't marry a Kohen. There's very, very specific, and we're not politically correct in that way.
Is this week's Parsha Amor?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Right. Yeah. It's very bounded. We're very right, and that's something. When I was in Mechina in Neri Yisrael, I remember Kalman Weinberg spoke about it with Shavuos, that the whole Matan Torah was predicated on the Higbalta Esahar Saviv, Shleshen Hagbala, Gvulin. That's what it was. It's very difficult to accept that you can grow within where you are. But we don't have the mobility. The American dream of going from rags to riches, or that there's no boundaries, there's nothing stopping you, there's no glass ceilings. It's not true within us.
There's no glass ceiling between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you got to do it within who you are. You can't go take someone else's role. Very, very bounded. Very, very mukbal. That's what the Torah demands of us. Very hard for our culture to accept that. Very difficult. That's something which they all have trouble with. So this is what she's telling Rus in the things that she tried to discourage her, and Rus accepted it all. So I mean, like you said, tznias, and that's really yichud. That's what she was telling her. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like you can't. There's no glass wall between us and Hashem, but there's a glass wall between us getting close to Hashem through somebody else. Like, what do you mean by that?
What I mean to say is that we talked about this before. That when it comes to the roles that we each have. So we do not accept, we reject, categorically reject the idea that a woman can do a man's role, a man can do a woman's role. And within, you know, within the various groups, there are different shvatim, each one has their own role. We don't take each other's roles.
But that's in a certain way. Like, I can't come close to Hashem through the way the man comes close to Hashem.
Right.
But the bottom line is that, can't I come just as close to Hashem as the man does?
Yes. Yeah, within your role. Right.
Yeah, but let's say my role has the potential to be just as close to Hashem as anybody else, or not really?
No, it does. It does. But look around today. What men and women can't accept, and it works with women towards men, but they can't accept that there's specific roles.
Yeah.
Right? There's no gender roles. It's you do whatever you want. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to get close to Hashem. I'll do it my way. Uh-huh. Torah doesn't say that. No, this is the way you do it. You don't get your choice how you're going to get close to Hashem.
But let's say if I go my way, I could get just as close to Hashem as, let's say, a Kohen or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
There's at least two different gauges. This is a little bit of a broader discussion, but there's at least two different gauges which we can't necessarily know exactly. There is the one that people are given different abilities and different advantages and disadvantages, and some people have greater ability and greater advantages. Moshe Rabbeinu was capable of becoming Moshe Rabbeinu. Not everybody was capable of becoming Moshe Rabbeinu. And as the Rashiva of Weimar used to say, Rabbi Kiva Eger, what became Rabbi Kiva Eger because he was born into a family that could raise a Rabbi Kiva Eger, and he had the mental capacity and the midos to become a Rabbi Kiva Eger. He still could have failed, but not everybody could have become Rabbi Kiva Eger. But so that in that regard, people are different. They can reach different levels. But then there's the other measure, which is, are you living up to your own potential? If you live up to your potential, and Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't live up to his potential, which there's no way for us to know whether he did or didn't. If he didn't, then you're at a greater level, because you lived up to your potential, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So that's a separate gauge. And that's what you mean by getting close to Hashem. Hashem gave you a certain job to do, and he gave you a certain amount that you could reach. Mm-hmm. And that is there's no glass ceiling in that at all. That's what you can reach. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.